Well, hello everybody, and welcome to our December Q&A call here for the Done For You Lead Generation Machine program. It's great to be with you guys. It's been a couple of weeks, and this is our only call in December. We're going to resume our calls in January. We're going to go every 2 weeks through at least the end of February. We'll continue as long as it's going to be helpful for you guys. So worry not. We're here to support you, to help you, not just as you're working with us to create these items, but also as you're deploying the strategy, as you're moving through the process and are now creating those breadcrumb trails. So as usual, guys, star two, if you have a question, that will raise your hand and I'll unmute you. And of course, if you're on the call page itself inside the training portal, you know, you can just type in your question, hit submit. I'll see it on my end and I'll read it out loud. So it's an open floor right now. If you have a question, need to discuss a situation, need feedback on anything, feel free. I think this is Jim. I was just going to mention Jim because I know who we were going to discuss some of the stuff. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm real well, Ed. How are you doing?
Doing well, my friend. Doing well.
Good.
Cool. So, let's talk about what you're bringing up is a great point, and I think this is going to help others as well as they think through, you know, what does my contact database look like, you know, once I'm migrating what I have into ConvertKit, if I have something, or once I start, you know, I have the keys, if you will, to ConvertKit and I'm using it. So do you want to just give us a quick rundown? I mean, I know there's a lot of detail here, but give us an idea of what you'd like to do, and then we can talk through it.
Yes, you bet. As you know, we get the lead magnet approved, and now you're looking at applying my lead list and my prospect list to the ConvertKit. I didn't really think this through too much. I have an Excel spreadsheet with prospects, with leads, and there are certain categories within the leads as well that I wanted to distinguish for you at Crystal's request. And then I started thinking, how is this going to work? I'm a little confused about how this lead magnet, I understand the principles of the lead magnet to attract people in who may have never heard from me before, but here I have a list of several hundred, primarily prospects, who have heard from me, and they haven't given me any response back and forth, so they stay on my prospect list. But there are a subset of those who have gotten in touch with me, and I've classified them as leads and segregated them into A, Bs, and Cs for focus purposes. Now I'm trying to determine what do I do with these folks with my lead magnet, and how do we set up the ConvertKit and the autoresponder emails to apply to these different groups.
Gotcha. Okay. So great question. And again, I mean, this is, if somebody hasn't asked this already, they're thinking about it or will think about it. So I'm glad you've brought this up. So you're right. The idea here is to create an attraction marketing system that will bring people into your ecosystem, right? By creating breadcrumb trails to an opt-in page where they can download something that would be relevant and valuable to them in exchange for their contact information. Then you can follow up with some automation and with some manual conversation, email conversation. So once they're in, then there is, you know, you're trying to see if they're in the 10% who are ready to engage or they're in 90% who are not yet ready. Now, you've already started this process with other people in the past through warm mule prospecting and some other prospecting efforts, so you have a list of people. I think the big distinction, though, is whether or not they have said, yes, maybe, but not now, or they haven't responded, period. That, to me, is maybe the simplest way of separating this group. And the reason is you can take the ones who have said, you know, we'll keep your information handy. So they've responded. And even something that non-committal is still positive.
And
you can add them to your database as someone to nurture. So not yet ready, NYR. And so that, I think, that's something I would absolutely do, because now you have them in there and you can add them and you can create some nurturing sequences if you wanted to, or at a minimum, if you have them tagged that way, you can see which ones are in that bucket. Now, those who have not responded, then what you don't want to do is you don't want to add them here because you haven't gotten permission. Right, it's okay if you send a warm email. That's a very different approach. But you haven't gotten their permission to do traditional email marketing to them and to send them information. So those are the ones that I would definitely leave out, because a ESP, such as ConvertKit or anything, is not going to be the right way of approaching them. So I would not import those in the ConvertKit because you have not gotten permission. They have not opted into anything. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, except that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I haven't been applying permission marketing to any of this effort to date. I have given people the option to opt out if they wished by just typing in unsubscribe. None of them have done that. And to me, that is a valuable resource. Those prospects who haven't done anything, there's got to be some who, with this lead magnet, very possibly will say, this is something that I'm interested in. So I'm assuming permission just because they haven't told me otherwise, and I've already contacted them. So I'm very hesitant not to be sending this lead magnet out to them.
Okay, so let's talk about that. I think there's two issues there that we need to talk through. One is regulatory compliance, and then the other one would be, okay, if you contact them, what would you send? Let's talk about the latter one first. So
sure.
These are people who have not responded to anything. What were you thinking? Were you thinking about sending them the lead magnet?
I was thinking about just sending them the lead magnet. And if I got nothing from them, from that point of view, then probably defer to the permission marketing. If they haven't responded to me after the times that I've gotten in touch with them, then I guess I could just let them go. I just hate that idea after putting in this much investment and time and energy getting them, but you know, I also respect the 80-20 rule, and I'm not going to spend much time on people who aren't responding.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, here's the thing. If you sent them the lead magnet, that only works if you're doing it as a nurturing activity, right?
Yes.
Because you're just trying to stay in touch through value-added information.
Yeah.
Are you saying that, and how many people would be in that category, roughly speaking? I mean, are we talking about 50, 500, somewhere in between?
Yeah, we're probably looking at around 300.
Okay. So I'm assuming that the attractiveness of going ahead and importing them in the ConvertKit is if you wanted to go ahead and just do that. Send them a link to the lead magnet without requiring them to opt in, just sending them a link to the PDF itself?
No, you know what? That's where I'm having a little bit of issue. The silliness would be that they're saying, well, he's asking me to opt in by giving me his email, but he sent me the email to give me this opportunity to opt in. So it's kind of catching the circular motion here.
Exactly.
But on the other side of it, that would tend to clean this up so that we're then dealing just with strict permission marketing. Anybody who did opt in then is showing enough interest to hear from me again. Those who don't, which would be, I expect at this stage, the vast majority, I guess I have nothing further to add to them.
Yeah.
I hate the idea of letting them go, but I won't spend more time on it. So that's actually not a big deal. I'll withdraw that statement. Perhaps it should be, I'd be glad to let them go so I can really focus on those that matter, who matter.
Yeah, I think that's the right approach to take, Jim, is, you know, I understand the hesitation. I understand, you know, where you're coming from. The challenge is, though, that you can't force someone to take a specific action. Like, it's got to come from them. Now, you can change the scenario to make it more attractive for them to want it, but at the end of the day, you can't force them, right? That's just
correct.
Not going to work. So the best scenario is to work with only those who have indicated some level of interest. Even at that level of interest, it's just plain curiosity, and they just downloaded the lead magnet. You know, you don't, that only tells you that they're alive and they're willing to make that trade-off, trade their information for this PDF. But that's a lot better. That separates them from the other groups significantly. So
I agree.
Now, I brought Crystal in because I wanted to make sure we can't really speak to regulatory compliance. As you know, Canada has some very, very strict rules when it comes to email marketing, which is something, you know, you're going to have to look into yourself. But the other area there would be in terms of what ConvertKit allows us to do in terms of importing names that may or may not have opted in. So, Crystal, can you speak to that a little bit?
I can. So we can import names. You can do it in pretty much any CRM like this. You can import the names, but it's whether we can deliver to them. And when we were setting this up and we planned it out, there was never an intention of delivering content through ConvertKit to anyone who has not opted in. And it's really important that you understand why. You can still import them and tag them and use that as part of your tracking process for prospects who are, you know, in your funnel in some other way. But ConvertKit is really about handling, you know, people on a, it's not about that individual behind-the-scenes marketing that you do. The reason why it's important that people opt into your list so that we can market to them is even separate from Canada's regulations. Spammers are very commonly targeted by services like ConvertKit, where they upload hundreds or thousands of names, and then they get a bad reputation. ConvertKit gets a bad reputation when everyone marks their email as spam. So they prevent you from being able to market to those people. Further, if we do bring them in and you can send emails to them and it works, if you ever wanted to change to a different service or set up a shopping cart and bring those other people in, if there's no record of specifically their IP when they logged in, the date that they logged in, the URL that
opted
they logged
in. Opted in, not logged in. Opted in.
I'm sorry, opted in. Thank you. Well, if none of that identifying information is available on the record that the CRM keeps, if you want to transfer to any other service, all of those contacts will not be allowed. It's getting stricter and stricter as time goes on. We originally, way back in the day, used to use AWeber, and they were strict right from the beginning. But other services are becoming stricter because they're fighting this whole spam thing. So you can import anybody you want. If you want to be able to tag them using ConvertKit's tag so you know that they're not yet ready or they're responsive or not responsive, that type of thing. And that can help you work with, sort your list for follow-ups, individual emails from your own email address. But if you want to send emails from ConvertKit to these people, they really do need to be opted in first, and that's what we designed it to be. Does that help? Did I go in a rabbit hole, Ed?
No, I think that's – I mean, I'll ask Jim. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Well, I guess, I mean, I appreciate the reasons, the principles, and I agree with them. So all I'm trying to understand then is for the 300 names that I would like to be able to send out, the ability for them to be aware that I have a lead magnet, and if they choose, they could opt in to that lead magnet. Are you saying that I'm not able to do that?
Oh, no, you can absolutely do that. So that was in your you can't do it from ConvertKit, so you would want to email each of those people individually. And using Ed's worm email technique, based on your last follow-up with them, hey, I've developed this thing. I thought you might find it useful. You can learn more about it here. And then you would send them, like, we've built you a landing page, for example. You don't have access to it yet. I know you haven't seen it yet. But we've built you a landing page that stands alone, separate from your site and everything else. So you could send them directly to it, and then they can opt in, and they're in your system that we've set up.
Okay, fair enough. I was hoping I could avoid having to individually do it to the 300. That's a big task, but I've done it before, so I could do it again. I just thought maybe that I could do it through ConvertKit as a kind of a blast email, and then if they opted in, those are the people who I'd be staying in touch with from here on in and eliminate the others.
So you could technically do that. I highly recommend against doing it, because if you get enough spam complaints, they'll shut your account down.
Okay, we won't even risk that then, Crystal. That's fair enough. Yeah, I just needed to know that. That's fair.
So here's the good news, Jim. It is a big task. I would say it would probably take you a couple of hours if you do a copy and paste job. So, you know, you have to have your...
I've done it.
Yeah, you know what I mean, right? You have your spreadsheet one side of the screen, email client on the other, new message, paste their email address, then the subject line will be the same for everyone, and then, you know, a hi, Chris, comma, and then paste the message.
Yeah. It does take it takes quite a bit more than a couple hours, but I totally agree. It's not an issue. This is kind of a one-time. We're trying to clean up a marketing mess that I've got by using automation, and this will do the job. So I'm all keen for it.
Absolutely. And by the way, with the, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, say goodbye to those 300. So if only three of them end up opting in, the other 297 are out. I mean, you could still contact them through Warm Email Prospecting individually, but yeah, from they have some thresholds. Every ESP does, and if a certain percentage of emails sent out are marked as spam, your account is immediately flagged.
So yeah, I don't need that. I'm just going to avoid that altogether. Yeah.
Yeah, and like what Crystal was saying. The reason they watch that is if it impacts their deliverability for everybody else. So
sure.
Right?
Nope,
all ConvertKit customers could get impacted if stuff coming out of the ConvertKit servers, a certain percentage of it is junk, or, you know, perceived as junk.
Yeah, and understandably so. Yep.
So let's recap. What I would say is, and Crystal, correct me if I'm wrong, but we talked about two groups, the ones who have never responded. Those are the ones we've mainly been talking about just now. And the other group would be, they've responded, in some cases have had correspondence with him. And essentially what he would want is to nurture those, tag them as NYRR. What about that group?
So, yeah, that's kind of a gray area to me. I think, I mean, really what he's doing when he's tagging, importing those people and tagging, as long as he's emailing them outside of the system, which I think was the intent, like it's private follow-ups on 9-word emails. If somebody had opted in and they'd gotten his lead magnet and they went into the 9-word email sequence that we've built, those people who had responded to that, he would be interfacing with in his private private email address outside of ConvertKit. So all of these people that are already responsive to him, all we're doing is skipping that whole lead magnet piece, and he's continuing that responsive conversation. So bringing those people in and tagging them so that you know where they're at in your funnel is perfectly fine. If you decided to start a newsletter later on, my recommendation would be to make sure you have an opt-in from them or permission from them before you started sending them a newsletter. But that's a bridge you could cross later.
Yeah, okay. So at this stage, if I understand correctly, because I've because of the way I've marketed to get these names in the first place, we've already eliminated the prospects in our prior discussion here. Now we're talking about the 60 or 50 leads that I've got qualified as A, Bs, and Cs, and it would appear that I wouldn't be using ConvertKit with these people either, because there's no need or opportunity to have them opt in. But what I could do is the same as with the prospects, is send them the lead magnet, a chance for them to take a look at the lead magnet, or send them the lead magnet directly.
Yeah, there's two options, actually. You could absolutely do that. If I were you, I would, and Ed will correct me if he disagrees, but if I were you, I would start with those 50 or 60 and tell them, hey, I've developed this new thing. I think it'll be great for you. And then get them to opt in. But you could instead choose, which is what Ed had originally advised, instead choose to, we could bring those 50 or 60 contacts in. We could tag them as responsive for you. And I can absolutely talk to our team and create your A, B, and C tags for them that match your current list, so that you know where they are at. These are already people that are responsive. They don't necessarily need your lead magnet. They're already talking to you. That whole 9-word email sequence, once they're in that responsive section, you're not using ConvertKit to mail them anyway. You're using ConvertKit to track them. And that's, so it would be, in my opinion, if we imported those people, it would be okay. The only gray area is if you decided later on you wanted to mass mail, email these people through ConvertKit, then we have to make sure we have their permission. But for tracking, I don't see a problem.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because so let me just give you an example. So let's say that if you imported those 50 and you decided to send all your responsive prospects an email through ConvertKit, that felt very personal, very one-to-one, something like, hi, first name, you know, fill in that blank. I came across this research report recently on, you know, the impact of white papers and, you know, in content marketing. Thought you'd find it interesting. Jim, you could send it as a broadcast, but notice that it feels like a one-to-one email. So that's not necessarily going to raise any red flags within that group. But if you decided to launch a newsletter, which I encourage everyone to consider doing at some point, then that is definitely a one-to-many email. So suddenly people in that group might feel like, well, you know, I've never subscribed to this. You see the difference?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where you have to be. That's where you have to be careful. So with that group, what Crystal is saying, you just got to make sure if you do launch a newsletter, that even though you've had communications with them, is, you know, the best practice is to say, hey, I've launched this newsletter. I'd love to add you to it. You know, is that okay?
Yeah, and to me, that's exactly the whole point of having this thing, is now that I've got this automated opt-in machine, that's exactly how I'd approach it with virtually everything that I'm doing, to weed out those, you know, to separate the wheat from the chaff. So it's just dealing with, I think it's clear to me. I mean, I may have other questions as I go through this here, but this has been a good basis to start from.
I wanted to say too, Jim, one of the things that you're looking at a disadvantage right now, because you haven't seen the setup that we're creating for you. So visually and conceptually, we've been telling you things, but you don't know actually how it works. When we hand the reins over to you, excuse me, early next week, I'm going to be giving you a video of here's what we built for you, here's how to operate it, and here's how you access it, and what does it do for you. And then I'm also going to talk about, once people are in this, how you deal with them, and visually show you, and then you'll be able to go in and see that. You don't have that right now, so trying to understand what we're talking about, I get, must be difficult. So what I'd like to do, Ed, correct me, but what I'd like to do, Jim, is get everything set up for you. You get you into ConvertKit so that you know what this machine's about, and then you and I can talk about the, migrating those people in once you have a visual understanding of how all this works and where they fit into ConvertKit. But we'll get
Perfect.
The machine started.
Perfect. Yep. No, that makes total sense. That's great.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I agree. I think that's a good approach. And you know, the other thing to keep in mind, it's a mindset thing, Jim, is, you know, you in a way you kind of have to not let go, but just know that this is not the end. Like, if anything, it's you're trying to build a new following, if you will. Like, you're trying to now attract the right kind of people and having them filter through this ecosystem. So all is not lost. You're just now starting, I think, on a better footing in a way.
I agree, Ed. That's how I'm looking at it as well.
Cool. All right. Good stuff. Well,
great. Thank you.
You bet. You bet, Jim. You're welcome. Yeah, and again, I know this is a question that, again, like I said, other people might have or will come up. So I'm glad we addressed it here in this forum. So hopefully everyone found it valuable. Janet sent in a question. She typed it in. She says, and this is for Crystal, she just finished lesson 6, and she needs the link to her box folder to upload the form. So just a heads up, Crystal, that she's ready for
yep.
that.
Thanks, Janet. I usually try and get 20. I just got the notification, and I try and get those all done on the same day, but it's usually about 24 hours. So I'll get that done for you today.
Cool. In fact, she just raised her hand. Let me bring her in. Hey, Janet, how are you?
Just fine. Just wanted to say, yeah, that's what I figured. I just wanted to be sure. It'll probably be. I've got my mind map all done. I'm hoping that I've got a good topic and a place to go with this. As is usual with me, I stress over it and feel overwhelmed more than I probably need to. But at any rate, just thank you so much. And I figured that since I just finished it this morning, that it would take a while. I know that you had sent me something a while back. I just wanted to make sure I hadn't missed the link. So thanks so much.
You're welcome,
oh, you're
Janet.
Welcome.
I was going to say too, Janet, no worries for anyone that's listening to this call. If you want to check in at any time or something's not clear or I've sent you an email and you want further clarification, please email me. I'll be happy to answer your questions. And if I've skipped, you know, some information, happy to fill that in for you. So no worries about checking in anytime.
No worries. It's all been I've been working on some other stuff, but it's some big projects, but those are gone now, and I'm literally looking at an empty pipeline, so I'm kind of panicked, and again, that's just how this has been going. So appreciate it. Just wanted to touch base. Thanks so much.
You bet. And Janet, one thing to keep in mind too is you and I will have a one-on-one call, and I think others
right.
who have gone through that already can tell you that it's a really good session for us. So even if you're not, like, let's say you had 80% of, you know, in terms of clarity on your of what you'd like to have in your lead magnet, I find that after 30 minutes, we're there, you know. Either we have something really good to work with, or you can walk away from that session knowing exactly what you need to do. We've had several situations where people have come into the call with an idea, and then after we talked about it, they had to go back to the drawing board, but it wasn't like it was going to be starting all over. They know exactly now what they need to do, and then they were able to turn it around fairly quickly. So that's a really good check-in point for us in this whole process. So don't feel like you have to be at 100% before you submit all your stuff and we have that conversation with me, because that's what that call is for as well.
Very good. One of the things I also wanted to, I guess, ask, now that you brought it up, is the submittal form worksheet where we were kind of brainstorming about different topics. Is it helpful to upload that and maybe, along with what we've selected, and have you look over that and say, okay, actually, the one you have back over here probably would have been a better one? Or is that just...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely, because I look at those in most cases anyway, just to see how you arrived at your final decision. Because I kind of like to think, or I kind of like to see how you thought through it. That always helps me. So, yes, definitely include that in what you submit.
Okay. Because actually, it just occurred to me the final topic isn't on that worksheet list. It's related, but it's not actually there. So, it's a spinoff, so to speak.
It's
a combination. I'm not even sure which of all those things it is. But I'll send it to you and then also send some backup information from a content marketer from my industry. I think they're just kind of a full shop. And they do a newsletter, and it's very good. And I'm very intimidated because they've covered all the things that I've said in blogs and other stuff. But, they have a full contingent of folk apparently behind them to deliver. So I'm not... But anyway, I'm going to send those things to, it's kind of my swap file.
Okay. Okay. If you send something like that, make sure to let me know in the email what you're sending me, so I have the context.
It'll be obvious because I've basically just made PDFs of some of their web pages and then highlighted the posts that I thought were points I would like to bring out. So.
Okay.
Okay. But thanks. I'll do that.
You bet, Janet. Look forward to it. Well, we're on the subject. I want to let everyone know. So we are going to – next week is really our final week here in the office for a couple of weeks. Christmas falls on a Monday this year, so we're all pretty much gone – that week of Christmas, and half of us are out the following week. All that to say that if you're on the verge of submitting something, the earlier the better. Because, if you send something, let's just say a lead magnet submission form on next Thursday, the 21st, it's going to be really, really hard for us to schedule that one-on-one call before that break, and which means that we just have to hit pause in the process. That's okay. I just wanted to set the right expectations. Having said that, the risk of letting you all of you guys know that is that suddenly we could get a bunch of stuff coming through because I've just given you the heads up, in which case now we're suddenly overwhelmed, which means we have to, juggle quite a bit. So I say that with caution. Just know that we're going to be out. We're going to have to hit pause in some cases. But if you have something right now, the sooner the better, because that gives us a chance to get things moving and move further ahead into this process with you. All right, so star two, guys. Star two, if you have a question, need feedback, want to talk through anything. Anything is fair game. I'm going to bring Crystal into these calls also starting in January. since I know some of the questions are now moving into the ConvertKit area, I want to make sure that that she's here to address some of those questions as well. All right, let's see. Janet, hey, you're on.
Nope. Again, it said lower hand, so that's what I was trying to do. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You guys don't have to clear it. I'm cleaning them on my end, so no worries. All right. Hey, Joseph.
Hi there.
Hey, you know what? This is the first time I see you in my control panel as a Monterrey instead
yep.
of a Dallas number.
That's right, yeah. I tell you what, it is cold down here.
Oh, I know. You guys got that cold front all the way down, didn't you? Did you get snow?
We did, actually, and that is quite a unique scenario. Our kids went outside and got into it for a little bit because they may not get it for the rest of the year.
Now, is it normal for it to snow over there?
No, not at all. And when it does, it just basically coats the ground like dust, and then it disappears within minutes. So, you know,
yeah.
You have to get out there and grab it while you can.
That is so cool. So you move south to Mexico, you know, in a way to kind of get out of that, and you know, the snow followed you anyway.
Yeah, well, the homes aren't made the same. It's all concrete brick houses, and they don't have central heating or anything like that. So you pay the same amount of money to heat your house, but it's still like 60 degrees, 50 degrees, and that's no joke. We slept last night. It was 50 degrees in my room, and it's just life. It's just the way it is.
I love it.
Yeah, so what I was wanting to ask is, I know that we went a lot through, you know, kind of outbound emails and how that integrates with the idea behind ConvertKit, because things like ConvertKit really aren't set up for outbound, you know, that you want people to sign up and then you track those emails going to them. So my whole marketing setup right now is just pure outbound. I don't have a blog. I don't have any inbound strategies. I don't have landing pages set up or anything of that nature. So in my mind, using a lead magnet was going to be kind of like the discussion you had earlier, using my outbound strategy to, as a teaser, send things out and saying, hey, I've got this new resource, guys, take a look at it. And, you know, if you sign up, you can get this cool lead magnet that I wrote for you. It was basically my understanding of how I would use this. What is the best marketing buyer's journey or workflow for you, how you see that happening? Should I have an inbound attraction mechanism going to get people to get to the landing page and sign up, or can I just simply use my outbound warm email prospecting type strategy to do this?
Yeah, great question. So you can go ahead and do that. You can go ahead and reach out to people individually that you've interfaced with in the past and say, hey, I got this thing, you know, check it out. The way I'm teaching it, though, doesn't really include that, just because that's something you can always do. The way that I'm going to be teaching it to you guys actually in lesson 9, once you get to that point, is driving traffic to your opt-in page or building those breadcrumb trails.
Okay.
Is truly building breadcrumb trails. So, and I have it separated into 3 sections, low-hanging fruit, other people's properties, and then just kind of other, which is all kinds of different things you could do. And you want to move through it in that order. So low-hanging fruit are like the easy things. You know, spread the word in social media. You see the difference between putting it out there in social media versus emailing people directly? Both
yes.
are fine, but one of them is pure attraction marketing. Hey, I got this thing. Check it out. Here's where you can download it, as opposed to reaching out to everyone individually. There's things you could change your bio, alter your bio in some of these profiles, LinkedIn, Twitter, et cetera, to promote your lead magnet. So there's a lot of opportunities in social media. There's content hubs such as Medium, LinkedIn Publisher, where I would absolutely be adding a call to action at the end of your articles if you want to write some articles and publish them there. And then other people's properties is finding places where your audience is already hanging out, things that they're already reading, and methodically reaching out to those publications to see if you can guest post, you know, if you can be a guest contributor occasionally. And the idea is to write an article that speaks to your that adds value, right? Speaks to your expertise, and at the end there's a call to action. Hey, to download my cheat sheet titled blah 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 blah. Visits, you know, this particular page. So you're going out there and placing, you know, putting honey in all these different locations little by little and bringing people in. But yeah, to answer your question, you could, like Jim's going to do, you can absolutely do like a one-to-one outreach if you wanted to.
Okay, that's great. That was the answer to my question, and I look forward to the lessons coming up because that's really the next step for me. I understood the, you know, autoresponders, and I really am grateful for the unique messaging that you guys have come up with for it. I think that I've been missing that in a lot of my inbound strategies, but currently I've kind of let those inbound strategies go because they weren't working. So I look forward to getting back on the saddle.
Awesome. Great. Great. Well, hey, great to hear from you.
Hey, same here. Thank you.
All right, Joseph. Yeah, so that's what we're trying to do, and of course, you know, feel free to reach out to folks individually as well. One other thing you could do, by the way, is once, you know, with this lead magnet, this could be a great nurturing tool as well. So when you are whether you're doing it manually or you're doing it later as a more involved nurturing strategy, once you get comfortable with ConvertKit. And you've been doing this for a while, you'll be able to set something up if you wanted to. But if you're manually following up with not yet ready prospects, this is something great to send them. And in that case, I would not have them opt in. Think about this, right? They're already engaged with you. They said, listen, I'm going to keep your information handy. We don't have anything right now. There's a possibility that in the second quarter of next year, we're going to have a need for a couple of different white papers because we're launching a couple of products then. All right, so it's December, they're talking about Q2, you want to stay in touch, but you don't want to stay in touch with the, hey, are you ready yet? Or that's kind of an awkward pause because you know they're not ready, so what do you do between December and, let's just say, March or April? Sending a link to that direct lead magnet is a great way to do that, or as an attachment. It's part of your, hey, ran across this, thought you'd find it interesting, or, hey, Jim, I recently published this cheat sheet titled whatever. I just, you know, wanted to send it your way. I thought you'd find it interesting. Here's a link, or, you know, it's attached to this email. Great way to just repurpose that content and use it to nurture those not yet ready prospects. Keep your name top of mind without saying, are you ready, or, you know, being really awkward because you know they're not ready, but you don't know what to do or say. All right, again, star two.
And Ed, I just wanted to jump in here. I think Joseph made a really great point. I think this is going to come up for all of you. Most of you, from what I know of you, have really been doing outbound marketing. I mean, that's what most freelancers do. What the gap is this inbound marketing. And that's what ConvertKit, this is what this machine that we're building, that's really what that facilitates, is the inbound marketing. Can you use it for the contacts that you have been working with for outbound? Yeah, and we can talk about that. But ideally, what Ed just described and what Joseph was talking about, this is setting up your inbound marketing so that you can convert people better that are finding out about you and you're having those conversations. So the outbound marketing, you can use the assets that we have built for you, absolutely, but they're not the same thing. They really are two separate sequences or processes going on here.
Yeah, and which brings up another point. You should continue to do the outbound. You know, this inbound stuff is, you know, this is like you are planting a vegetable garden in early spring, and you know that you still have to go to the grocery store because you need other things to eat, and it's going to be fall. It's going to be October before you can harvest your crop. So that in mind. You know, this thing is a vegetable garden. This is not going to be you plant the seeds today and tomorrow you can eat. You still got to do these other things. You still have to make those trips to the grocery store.
And at just
but
a reminder.
Over time, yeah, over time, right, when you get that garden going, you're golden. Sorry, Crystal.
I was just going to remind you that we're going to have people joining us for the next call, so you may want to let them give them a heads up. That
yeah, so, all right, guys, last call. I haven't seen any raise hands, but I just want to make sure I don't miss anybody here who had questioned. All right, I don't see any other raised hands or any submitted questions. We'll go ahead and wrap up, and then we're going to resume our calls, guys, in January again. And our first call when we come back will be Wednesday the 10th at 2 o'clock Eastern time, Wednesday the 10th. So the schedule is in the inside the portal, the training portal, so if you ever want to refer to it. But we'll continue through at least the end of February. We can just check in at that point and see. You know, if we need to continue, I'm happy to do that, no problem. So you guys have a great rest of the day. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas if you celebrate. And Happy New Year. I look forward to talking with some of you guys who I'll be talking with one-on-one and to talking again with everyone in January. Take care.